chapter 10, the first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs, our attention is directed to the dangers that we are so easily beset by, and also our attention is directed to the value of wisdom, the importance of steadily pursuing wisdom. We're told in those first nine chapters that in order to obtain this wisdom, we must have reverence, we must have humility, we must be teachable, we must have diligence in seeking this wisdom, and we must have righteousness. So the first nine chapters really serve as a preface to the Proverbs. The Proverbs themselves begin here in chapter 10, which begins the second part of the book. You'll notice there in Proverbs 10 and verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. And this is basically where the actual Proverbs begin. The style and manner of the second part of the book is very, very different from the first part of the book, and I believe needs to be approached in a different way. Now, the Proverbs, which begin here in chapter 10, basically consist of two lines, which are a parallelism, a pair of statements that go alongside one another. The purpose of these proverbs is to provoke thought, to teach us, to provoke thought. And there's basically four kinds of proverbs here in the book. There are what we would call synonymous proverbs, synonymous parallelism, that is, two lines that are alike. In those cases, the two lines of the proverb are brought together by saying the same thing in different words. The second line says the same thing as the first line, but just says it in different words. And an example in Proverbs 16 and verse 18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction." The second line says the same thing, but it says it in a different word. "And a haughty spirit before a fall." Same thing, just a different way of saying it. So there are synonymous parallelism. Then the most popular, or most common, we should say, of the proverbs are the antithetical proverbs, that is, opposites. Two ideas are contrasted with one another. The second line states the same principle as the first line, but from an opposite standpoint. These proverbs are usually identified with the conjunction "but," and then you have the opposite presented. We see here in chapter 10, verse 1, the very first proverb, "A wise son maketh a glad father," the opposite, "but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." And if you read down through Proverbs chapter 10, we're not going to do that tonight for time's sake, but you'll notice the word "but" throughout. So most of these proverbs are antithetical, that is, the most common in the book. And then the third would be synthetic or complete proverbs. Two parts are put together to form a whole. That is, the second line simply amplifies the first line, simply expands the first line. And usually you can identify those proverbs. The first and second line are divided by the word "and" or the word "so." Notice in Proverbs 10, verse 18, He that hideth hatred with lying lips. And again, this proverb forms a whole thought. And he that uttereth a slander is a fool. And you can go throughout and find several of these proverbs as well. And then, of course, there's comparative proverbs. The first line is an illustration, a type, an example drawn from nature or drawn from daily life, and usually begins with as or like. Notice in Proverbs 10 and verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send them. And there are many of those proverbs. Notice in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11, verse 12, and verse 13, we see all of these are comparative proverbs. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. The next proverb, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is the faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. So, four different kinds, four different types of proverbs. Now, the proverbs are not just the presentation of some theory, but they're actually principles. They're actually principles for you and I to live by. All the proverbs are principles that we can live by. They're not merely a correlation of wise sayings, but they're basically rules. They're rules from God. They're rules from heaven to help govern our lives. So these proverbs are to be studied. These proverbs are to be applied to our life, and if we study them and we apply them, they will strengthen our lives, they will fortify our lives, they will brace us, they will vitalize us, they'll energize us. And I believe as you look at Proverbs chapter 10, and as we look at the second part of the book, we're going to deal with the proverbs by subject instead of going verse by verse through the chapters, because if we do that, we'll just be repeating ourselves over and over and over again. So we're going to deal with them by subject. And as you read through chapter 10, there's several proverbs, and the subject is presented. For example, in Proverbs 10, verse 1, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. The subject there is the comfort or grief that parents have in their children. That's the subject of that particular proverb. Now, there are several proverbs, and we'll look at these tonight. There are several proverbs that deal with that very same subject. And then if you go down to verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Different subject. And then that proverb is repeated in many different ways throughout the book. So we'll deal with these by subject. And the first proverb, again here in verse 1, is the comfort or grief that parents have in their children. The happiness or sorrow that children can bring to parents. If you think about it, some of the brightest joys and some of the most bitter of sorrows in this world flow from the heart of parents on the behalf of their children. Parents' hearts are rejoicing on behalf of children, and then there are parents' hearts who are deeply sorrowful as a result of the behavior of their children. And there's many proverbs along these lines. And for this reason, because children can be a grief or a comfort to the hearts of parents, for this reason, there in the first 9 chapters, Solomon wisely instructs his son. He's instructing him over and over and over and over again. And that's all we can do, is to instruct and to train our children. But those children are going to cause joy, and those children are going to bring grief into our lives as well. Notice in Proverbs chapter 27, and no one really understands the heart of a parent except for a parent. Unless you're a parent, you cannot truly understand the heart of a parent. In Proverbs 27 and verse 11, we see the plea of Solomon, "My son, be wise and make my heart glad." That's the plea of Solomon. And he writes many proverbs on this subject. So we want to look at these. So again, we'll begin with chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Again, the word son can be the word daughter just as well. We can't just get caught up on the son here. It can be the daughter. It's children. Now we see here there are two types of sons or two types of children that are mentioned. There is the wise son and there is the foolish son. The wise son is really described in the first nine chapters. The wise son is one who listens and follows godly instruction, follows the godly instruction of his or her parents, follows the godly counsel of his or her parents. A wise son is one who fears the Lord. It's one who has a reverence for God. A wise son flees temptation. We saw in the first nine chapters, Solomon warned his son concerning temptation, concerning sin. And a wise son flees temptation. A foolish son pursues temptation. A wise son patterns his life after Christ. Such a son, such a child, brings gladness, brings joy to the heart of a parent. On the other hand, we have a foolish son. And it says here in Proverbs 10 and verse 1 that a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. That is, a foolish child is the sadness of his mother, is the sorrow of his mother, is the burden of his mother. A foolish son is one who, just the opposite of a wise son, he's one who disregards the wise instruction and the wise counsel of a godly parent. He disregards it, and he disregards it to his own ruin. He disregards it to his own harm. And this is a great heaviness to the heart of a parent. A foolish son is one who has no fear of the Lord, no reverence for the Lord. He does not walk in the ways of the Lord. And as a result, he falls into many hurtful and destructive sins. And such a son, such a child, proves to be a great burden to the godly parent. Again, you can sit down with parents all over. I'm talking about Christian parents, godly parents who have taught their children, and all the sorrow that they have in their hearts because son or daughter has gone astray, because son or daughter has disregarded the instruction and disregarded the training that they received as a child. This is a source of sorrow to any parent, and it's really a sorrow unlike any other. I'm not saying it's the worst of all sorrows, but it is a sorrow unlike any other. Then notice in Proverbs 15, we have another proverb on this same subject. Proverbs 15, verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Again, once again, a contrast is drawn between a wise son and a foolish son. And once again, it is mentioned the effects that these two types of children, two types of son, the effects that they have upon their parents. We see here in the first line of the parable is a wise son maketh a glad father. That is, a wise son is a source of gladness, is a source of pleasure, is a source of delight, is a source of gratefulness to a godly parent. But a foolish son despiseth his mother, or his mother's instructions, or the instructions or in the counsel of both mother and father. And the word despiseth there means that he thinks little of their instruction. He's been trained. He's been brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, or she. But they think very little of their training, and they go astray from their training. And such an individual brings great sorrow to the heart of a parent. It means to, the word despise means to set at naught. It means to regard lightly. It means to reject. So a foolish son despiseth his mother. He disregards and he lives contrary to wise parental instruction. He lives contrary to wise parental counsel. And in so doing, he dishonors not only himself or herself, but they dishonor both father and mother. Always. And it brings great sorrow. In Proverbs 17, verse 21, Proverbs 17, verse 21, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. He that begetteth a fool. Now, when a child is born, and as that child grows, that child is an object of great hope to a godly parent. That child is an object of great expectation of a godly parent. And a godly parent raises that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, trains that child to walk in the ways of the Lord, prays earnestly over that child will be pleasing to the Lord. Now, if that child departs from its rearing, departs from its training, disregards the counsels and the instruction that they have received throughout their childhood, that child causes great sorrow to the heart of a godly parent. It causes great heartache to the heart of a godly parent. The godly parent mourns and grieves over such a child. The godly parent continually prays for that child. They notice the second line of Proverbs 17 and verse 21, and the father of a fool hath no joy. Hath no joy. That's expressive of the degree of sorrow. That is, everything in that parent's life, in some way or another, has been affected by that child, by that disobedient, by that foolish child. So we see the degree of sorrow is that he has no joy. Then notice in Proverbs 17 and verse 25. Proverbs 17, verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him. Two words that describes the effect that this foolish child has upon parent. That is the word grief and the word bitterness. A foolish son is a grief to his father. That word grief speaks of a heavy and deep sorrow of heart. This is not just an ordinary sorrow. This is not just an ordinary disappointment that comes in life. This is something that's very heavy. This is something that is very deep. And many a parent have gone to their grave with this heavy and deep sorrow because of a rebellious child, because of a child that has gone astray from its training. Again, I'm talking about godly parents. The ungodly parent perhaps is not grieved that his son or his daughter is a fool. They don't even know when their son or daughter is a fool. But to a godly parent, a foolish son is a grief to his father. He's also a grief to his mother. And then we see the word grief is a word that speaks of misery. It's a word that speaks of anguish. It's a word that speaks of heartache. So the foolish son brings misery to the life of parents. A foolish son brings anguish and heartache to the life of his or her parents. The word bitterness, we see the second line of the parable, and bitterness to her that bare him. It's that which is very distressing. A foolish child is very, very distressing to the mind. It's not something that you can, that a godly parent can just put out of their mind and forget about. You can't. You can't because you care. You can't because you have a burden for them. So this is a distress of mind that is very, very difficult to get away from. It's always there. It's always there. It's that which is intensely unpleasant. That which brings severe pain. And you take this foolish child, and let's say this foolish child becomes very, very successful in the world. They're making a good living. In fact, they can even support you. And perhaps they do. But that's nothing to rejoice about. A godly parent still has a sorrow because a child is gone astray from its training. A godly parent would rather see that child lose that job and lose that worldly success and return to its training. That's what would bring joy. And again, we can, and we'll speak a little more on this in a little bit, but we can judge whether or not we're a godly parent by what we really want for our children. What it is that really brings joy into our hearts. Is it material success? Or is it spirituality? And to a godly parent, a lack of spirituality in a child, again, is a very... is very stressful and very distressing to the mind of that parent. The child that lives in sin, to the disregard of righteous training, to the disregard of godly instruction, that child, whether they mean to or not, that child brings much grief and bitterness of heart to a godly parent. Again, you sit down and talk sometime to some parents whose children have gone out and listen to them. And there's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of distress of mind that just doesn't go away. The only thing that would cause it to go away is if that child would return to its training. And then we see in chapter 19, verse 13, a foolish son is the calamity of his father. A foolish son is the calamity of his father. Now, a calamity is that which causes great damage. If there's an earthly calamity, great damage has been done. A calamity is that which causes great distress. And we see here that a foolish son is the calamity of his father. That is, a foolish son causes great damage, more than the son will perhaps, or the daughter, whatever the case may be, more than they will perhaps ever realize. And they will not understand until perhaps they have their own children and those children do the same thing. Then they begin to see the great damage that has been done, not only to their lives, because if you sin, if you go against godly counsel, you go against godly instruction, I guarantee you, you will bring damage to your life. There's no way of escaping it. You will bring damage to your life. No doubt some bring more damage than others. There's no question about that. But everyone who sins, every time we sin, we bring some damage to our life. But we also cause damage to the lives of others. And a child. That, again, a foolish son is a calamity to his father or to his mother. The application goes both ways. The child that disregards and rebels against godly instruction, rebels and disregards godly counsel, brings a calamity. And let me say, it is a calamity that earthly riches and earthly honor will not alleviate. That godly parent still has received a calamity in their life. Their life to some degree and in some aspects has been damaged because of the behavior of a child. Now, children should think about these things as well. That which causes the most distress, that which causes the most misery in a godly parent concerning their children, is not that which is physical. True, any parent is going to have sorrow if their child is physically harmed or if their child has something physically wrong with them. But to a godly parent, that's not the thing that brings the most sorrow. The thing that brings the most sorrow is not that physical disease. It's the fact that their child has disregarded godly instruction and lives the lives of as an ungodly individual. That's distressing to a godly parent. And again, material blessings. If that child becomes materially wealthy, that doesn't fix. That doesn't alleviate the fact that the child has gone astray. Don't brag because your child makes a good living, but they're out of church, and they don't serve God, and they disregarded the nurture and admonition of the Lord that you raised them in. Don't be proud of that. That should cause sorrow and grief. And we ought to find ourselves praying, Lord, If it takes taking all their material wealth away to bring them back, do whatever it takes. That's the heart, and that's the concern, and that's the burden of a godly parent. And then notice in Proverbs 19, verse 26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. The son here described as one who wastes his father's estate by wicked and sinful living. But notice what else. It says, and chaseth away his mother. And I believe what that means is he causes his own mother to avoid him because she's uncomfortable. Not that she doesn't love him, not that she doesn't care, but she's uncomfortable being around him because of his lifestyle or her lifestyle. And she finds herself avoiding them, avoiding their own children. What a grief. What a sorrow to a parent. And some child might say, well, a parent should never avoid their children. Perhaps a child should never do those things which would cause a parent to have to avoid. Again, it's not that they don't care. It's not that they won't be there if that child needs them. But they do not find delight in their company, just as you do not find delight in the company of the ungodly, even if it's your own son or daughter. That's sad. When you cannot enjoy the company of your son or your daughter because of their ungodly and filthy lifestyle. That's sad. And perhaps what's even sadder is parents that compromise in order to try and enjoy sinful lifestyle of a child. We see that this son who wasteth his father's substance, chaseth away his mother, is a son that causes shame. That is, he's a son that brings disgrace to himself, but also to mom and dad. He's a son that brings shame or humiliation. He brings humiliation to mom and dad. And how many parents have been humiliated and have humiliation of heart because of behavior? They are an embarrassment. They are a shame, embarrassment to the parent and to himself. And he brings reproach. That is, he brings disapproval. A godly parent cannot approve of an ungodly lifestyle, and even if it's their own child, you cannot approve of that which is wrong, of that which is ungodly. Doesn't matter if it's your child. You cannot approve. In fact, the truth is, if it's your child, you should disapprove even more. Even more. But it is a child that brings reproach or discredit, not only to himself, but to mom and dad. Then notice in Proverbs 23. Again, all of these are proverbs that deal with that go along with that first proverb in Proverbs 10, verse 1. The grief for the comfort that parents have in their children. Proverbs 23, verse 24 and verse 25. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. The hope of every godly parent, the hope and prayer as soon as that child is born and even before they are born. The hope and prayer, first of all, is that one day that child would be saved. That is, made righteous in Jesus Christ. And then after that, that they would live righteous lives for the Lord. That they would live serving the Lord. That is the desire of a godly parent. A godly parent will not encourage their children in a career that will take them away from the house of God. And many have been guilty. They have encouraged their children to pursue careers that is going to take them out of church. And then when that career comes along, here comes mom or dad. Oh, pray for my son. They're out of church. Well, you had a big part in it. And you need to repent. And then you need to pray that what you've done can be undone. But many parents have failed in this area. But we see here, when a child is saved by the grace of God, what joy that brings to the heart of a godly parent. And as long as a child is unsaved, there's a burden. There's a sorrow. And there's that always earnest pleading that God would save their soul. But that child that is saved, and now that child is living for the Lord, and they love the Lord, and they're serving the Lord. That child may not have a good job. That child may have to work 3 jobs to support a family. But the parent rejoices because their child is serving God. That's the heart of a godly parent. They rejoice that their children, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. There is great joy in seeing your children serve the Lord. There's joy in that. And if that doesn't give you joy, then there's something wrong with you as a parent. And then notice, lastly, in Proverbs 29, verse 3. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. First of all, the son or the child who loves wisdom hates wickedness, hates foolishness. Not only hates it, but avoids it. He does not keep company with harlots. Again, if your child, doesn't matter how old they are, if your child keeps company with the ungodly, wake up. It's because they're ungodly. That's the reason. And that should cause great distress. That should cause great sorrow. But if your child loves wisdom, that child avoids that which is sinful. And that's a great joy to the heart of a parent. So these proverbs that we've read this evening speak of the great concern that godly parents have for their sin, for their children. The Proverbs speak of the fact that a child that lives in sin, disregarding righteous training and the instruction of godly parents, brings much grief and bitterness of heart to a godly parent. Notice In 2 Samuel, you know where we're going, chapter 18, verse 33. 2 Samuel 18, verse 33, we read concerning David. His son Absalom has been killed. May I say that's not the only thing David was grieving over. In fact, it wasn't the main thing that David was grieving over. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son, my son. Absalom disregarded his childhood training. Absalom rebelled and was a very ungodly individual. And I can't help but believe that that was much of David's sorrow here in 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 33. Now, Christian parents can judge their own spiritual condition by examining what is it that gives you joy in your children? What is it that gives you sorrow in your children? Is it that they did well in soccer or basketball or baseball or football? That just thrills your heart. You know, that really doesn't matter. It's really not that important. A lot of importance is placed on it. That's really not what's most important. Or does it bring you joy that your child just wants to serve the Lord? They just love the Lord. Perhaps they're not interested in sports. That's not the worst thing that can happen. Perhaps they're not that interested in a lot of secular things. That's not the worst thing that can happen. There are things far worse, such as not having any interest in spiritual things. Perhaps your child excels in sports but has no desire whatsoever to be in the house of God. That ought to break your heart. That ought to cause you great grief and sorrow. And don't go bragging, oh, what a great ball player they are. That really doesn't matter when they're not serving the Lord. So we can judge our own spirituality. What is it that gives us joy? What is it that gives us our greatest joy in our children? What is it that gives us our greatest sorrow in our children? And children need to think also that your behavior, what you do, is going to have perhaps a lifelong effect upon mom and dad. And you need to think about that. You need to have enough love for a parent that you don't do those things that'll cause grief and sorrow. And you ought to have enough concern for your own soul that you don't do those things that will damage you spiritually. So this first proverb deals with the comfort and the grief that parents can have in their children. Solomon is a wise, wise man. And it would do us all good to listen to what Solomon has to say. Brother Jim, you come and lead us.